morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Yud Ches. We are in Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Mechus Begadim. Our topic for today will be clothing. I'll start with a cliche. Clothing makes the man. In this case, clothing is going to make the Kohen. The Mishnah taught us in the beginning of the second parak, which we saw just a couple days ago. Mishnah is on Tesvav Amud Beis. That the any one of the avodas done where a kohen is in any one of the conditions that was described in the Mishnah is going to be pasul, meaning the avoda will be pasul. Or I should say better, more grammatically correct, the avoda is going to be psula. Including the list that Mishnah brought down is mechus v'gadim, if the clothing is not wearing the correct number of clothing, meaning a kohen hejod, a regular kohen is going to be wearing dal v'gadim, or four articles of clothing, pants. Basically a long tunic, a belt, and a hat. And a big day, and a Kohen Gadol is going to have Shmona Begadim. He's going to have an additional four Begadim worn or that over that of a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hajo. And a Mishnah tells us that if the Kohen is lacking in the clothing, in the necessary clothing, so such a Kohen doing the Avoda now will be a Avoda Psula. With that stated, we start with the Mishnah, we start with the Gemara, Mechus Begadim, Minalan. Where? Where do we see this in the Torah? What is the source in the Torah that teaches us this halacha? Amr Rabbi Abahu, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Matab Mishmed Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amr Kra, Vechagarta Osama of Nate, Aronavana, Vechavashalahem, Migbaos, Vaisalahem, Kuna, Chukas Olam. Read the Pasuk. Pasuk basically says it. You don't even have to stretch from the Pasuk to the Drasha. The Torah says is that they put on the belt and they wear the hat, and then Vaisalahem, Kuna, Chukas Olam. Then they're going to be Kohanim. And then, as if the pasuk didn't say clearly enough, the Gemara then emphasizes, "Bizmash bigdem aleihem kunasam aleihem ein bigdem aleihem ein kunasam aleihem." So, when they're wearing the begadim, they are kohanim, and when they're not wearing the begadim, so they're not kohanim. So, in other words, obviously, when you strip them of their clothing, they are still kohanim. But in other words, kohanim in the sense of doing avoda, meaning they're simply ill prepared to do the avoda if they're not wearing the begadim. And when we say ill prepared, we mean not just simply. You're not dressed well enough, meaning that they simply are unable, they're incapable of doing the avoda. And the avoda will be psula.
Does this mean that they have to have the begadim to get trumah?
Right. So and the answer can't be, in other words, the begadim could only be worn in the begadim could only be worn in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to be discussing other places. The Gemara, not here, but whatever. The Gemara elsewhere has a discussion. Let me right now leave it as elsewhere. The Gemara elsewhere has a discussion about if there's any question of Me'ila, if the Kohanim are wearing the Begadim when they're not doing the Avoda, meaning on their off time, they're taking a coffee break. So is that Me'ila, meaning the Begadim are Hektish, they belong to Kodesh. They don't believe, they're not personal clothing, personally owned. So, in other words, I can't imagine, Libi Omerli, it's like, intuitively, I can't imagine that they're wearing the begadim while eating truma. In other words, obviously, it's part and parcel. Right. Receiving, eating, what, either way. This is part and parcel of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning, right, it's a, I've heard Shira on this a number of times, is clothing more part of the Kohen or more part of the Avoda? Right, the classic chakir, if you will. But in other words, as far as the simple way to connect, the connection is the clothing to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, and when doing the avoda, they must be wearing their clothing. And if they're not, it's not an avoda.
Should have the big day kimono in Bedem, could they have it outside also?
Generally speaking, no. In other words, not. They have to be on duty, right? Like the cabs in New York. They have to be doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Then and only then they're wearing the begadim. Outside of that, they're not wearing the begadim. And again, I remember, I just don't remember where, but the Gemara elsewhere talks about what if they're wearing begadim outside? Is that a violation of Me'ilah? Meaning it's not their clothing.
But also
that
they're shatnas. They can't wear them.
Some of them are shatnas. Most of them are not, but some of the clothing is shatnas.
In terms of like the past, in terms of receiving the truma, the only time they see the truma when they're in Beit HaMikdash.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true.
But truma,
because no, truma is it can be eaten in anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Truma does not have to be eaten in the Beit HaMikdash. Sure, truma, you can eat truma in Haifa.
It's not required for eating truma.
No. The Gemara says now there's another source, the Tanya. So here now the Gemara is going to quote a second source. And when all said and done, by the end of today's daf, we're going to have four different sources. But here we have now a second source. Now when it comes to somebody who's drunk, in other words, a Kohen who is intoxicated, right, the avoda under the influence. So the Braisa says that if they do the avoda, they're mechal, tamalomer, yain v'shech al teisht. So the Gemara quotes from a number of parshiyos ago, where the Torah says that you're not allowed to drink wine and yain v'shecher, different types of wines, old wine, new wine. Ula havda ben kosher ben achol. So, and it makes a distinction between kodesh and chol. Chol over here is understood in this context as chulin. Meaning, if they do the avoda in an intoxicated state, so then they're mechal the avoda, they profane the avoda. Now, obviously, our topic today is not shesui yayin. However, what we have over here is going to be gzeira shava. Mechusa begadim v'shlo rachatz yidav, v'lo rachatz richutz yadam v'raglayim minayin. Okay, but how do I know to include also a Kohen who's not wearing the requisite clothing? Or a Kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet, tamalamar chuka chuka, l'gzeira shava. So what we have now is gzeira shava. Gzeira shava connecting shesui yayin to that of mechusa begadim, and also Rechitzas Yadam Raglaim. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Psukim. But in other words, by each one of these, you have a pasuk with some conjugated form of the word chuka, which tells me that just like b'shusu yayin by intoxication, if Kohen does the avoda, avoda is mechulal. Same thing is true regarding mechus begadim. Same thing is true regarding Rechitzas Yadam Raglaim. So what we have now is another limud, a second limud, that which is gzeira shava. But gzeira shava is just as bona fide as a pasuk in the Torah. So the Gemara says, so now we have two drashas, but two drashas is one more than necessary. And the Gemara goes on to explain one at the very top of your Chesam Adalaf. Ime hausam hava mina hani mila avoda de zar, chayv alav misa. Aval avoda de in zar, chayv alav misa, aim alo kamash malan. Gemara says, look, if all I had was just the drasha of the gzeira shava, I would have thought that it's limited only to those avodas where, if done by a non-Kohen, would be subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim. Now, a little bit of background over here in order to help us understand this point of the Gemara. In fact, let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi, on the very top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, third line down, when would I have thought that there would be a profaning of the avoda? That's only b'avoda shazar chayv ala misa. That's only for those avodas where, if done by non-Kohen, would come with it misa b'dei shamayim. Kedichsev ba'ukra b'vorachem alo amoled va'al tamusu. So b'avoda sheish bochiv misa lipsum ha'kosav medaber. Contextually, it's talking about only those avodas where if a non-Kohen did it, they'd be chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Ve'eino ela arba avodos. And interestingly here, in other words, we have already learned earlier in the Masechta that a non-Kohen can do none of the avodas barring Shechita. Shechita is the only one that a non-Kohen can be involved in. Other than that, no other avoda. So that means any of the avodas of the blood, again, barring Shechita, Kabbalas Adam, Holacha, Zrika, a non-Kohen can't do that. And then anything after that as well, the moving of the Imurim onto the Mizbeach, whatever, and any of the other avodas as well, Ketores, the list goes on and on, cannot be done by non-Kohen. However, what we're about to learn together right now is that if a non-Kohen does avoda, so there's only going to be four different avodas where he'll be subject to the Misa B'dei Shamayim penalty, meaning that he's not allowed to do any of the avodas, again, barring Shechita, but in terms of when the penalty of Misa comes about, that's only for four. Which four? Rashi teaches us. Rashi writes, Ela arba avodas Zrika, Haktara, Nisuch HaMayim, V'Hayayin. Interesting list. Only four: sprinkling of the blood, the burning of either the fats or the limbs of an animal, depending on what kind of carbon it is, the pouring of water, and the pouring of wine. It's a really interesting list of those things which are subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim if done by non-Kohen. How do we know this? So this was taught to us in the second chapter of Yuma. Meva avadatam avoda matana. So the Torah does give us an indication that there is a din misa for a non-Kohen to do it. The Gemara there in Yuma darshins avoda matana velo avoda siluk va'avadatam avoda tama velo avoda sheish acharei avoda. It has to be, says the Gemara in Yuma, a concluding avoda kagon Kabbalah v'olacha v'kemitza v'chochi v'misos b'psuli avoda mizaros gamrin k'dam b'perek basra ha'komet v'abola v'ayotu v'amekabal damim ein b'hem lo mishum zaros v'lo mishum tumma v'lo mishum chus begadim v'lo mishum shelo rachat yadam v'glaim amma mizar gamrin. As far as all the other avodas concerned, Rashi went through a whole host of other avodas. Obviously, a non-Kohen can't do them, but the Misa B'dei Shamayim penalty is only limited to concluding avodas. Zrikas Adam, burning of the limbs. Meaning, for as far as Zrikas Adam is concerned, it's a concluding avoda for the blood. Meaning, nothing more to be done with the blood. Now, it's true, some of the bloods, by the way, even after Zrika, are poured down the Mizbech, but that's not Ma'akev. Meaning, that's not an essential component. Meaning, the essential avoda is completed at the point of Zrika. Burning of whatever is going to be burned on the Mizbeach. That's a concluding avoda vis-a-vis that which is being burnt on the Mizbeach. And the pouring of the water, oddly enough, that's it. Meaning there's nothing more to do with the water. Same thing with the pouring of the wine. So in other words, there has to be concluding avoda so that if done by non-Kohen, it would be subject to the Misa penalty. It's, I mean, that is certainly
concluding
it, right. It's a concluding ochel. Okay, that doesn't fall. True, all true. Okay, but in other words, that's the list. The list is closed. So it's only for those four. So now the Gemara points out. So if that's true, so if I only had the Gzeir Shava, I would have thought that the only time that he's mechalal is only when the penalty would be Misa B'dei Shamayim. Meaning, think about it, it makes sense. At least the Havamina makes sense. I would have thought that the only time we're talking about profaning the Avoda is where it's so egregious when, if done by a non-Kohen, it would be Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's the Havamina. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see all this inside the Gemara again. So, Hava, I mean, I would have thought, second line down, so the Gemara says, so that's what the second drush is coming to teach us. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we have done is successfully taught that if a Kohen is not wearing the requisite, the proper clothing, so then he's going to profane the avoda by any of the avodas. Not just the big four. I say big four over here, I mean the four that would be subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim for non-Kohen. The Gemara says, how do I know that's true? By Shesu Yayin, Minalan Asi Chuka Chuka Min Mechus Begadim. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to learn Gzeir Shava from Mechus Begadim to Shesu Yayin. So the Gemara says, wait one second. I don't get it. If I tunnel have Dil Bain, Kanasivla. So the Gemara says, wait one second. The source of the halacha was coming from intoxication. Meaning, how could we flip the Gzeir Shava around? We were learning from Shesu Yayin to Mechus Begadim. And now you want to tell me that we're learning from Mechus Begadim to Shesu Yayin? That's not the direction we were learning from. So the Gemara says, Mikame Delekim Gzeir Shava. The Gemara says, yeah, but that was before the Gzeir Shava. The Gemara says, but wait one second, even once we have the Gzeir Shava, V'atana Mechus Begadim Hu Tekai Yalav Mishesu Yayin. Gemara says, wait one second, we were learning Mechus Begadim, from Shesu Yayin and not the reverse. Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, okay, but this is how you have to understand it. The Gemara says, good, you're right, but how else do I know that there's no distinction between avodas? Meaning, you are right. In terms of the halacha of chilul, so that we could generate from shesu yayin. In terms of the halacha of that there's no chiluk, that there's no distinction between one avoda and another, all avodas will be subject to chilul. Tamabamer chuka chuka l'gzer shava. So the chuka chuka is creating the gzer shava. Once we have a gzer shava, now we know that there's no distinction. Just like by mechusa begadim, all avodas that were done, the avodas that are subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim, the avodas that are not subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim, doesn't matter. As long as it's an avoda, if done by a mechusa begadim, a kohen not wearing the right clothing, is mechulal. Same thing is going to be true with shesu yayin, that any avoda done by a kohen who's intoxicated is going to be mechulal. Leaving us, obviously, a open-ended question. So the Gemara says, so now it turns out that really the Gzeir Shava is accomplishing everything. So once the Gzeir Shava is accomplishing everything, so then, so now that becomes a open drasha, available to make a drasha. The Gemara says it's teaching us a different halacha. What's a different halacha it's coming to teach us? Gemara over here quotes lechadarav derav lo mukim amor alam yomatav lechavrei mishum shechros. Rav would not appoint an amora. Remember, whenever we're talking amora in the context of amoraim, it means basically a spokesman. Rav had a spokesman who spoke on his behalf, meaning on his behalf. When he gave shir, so he would sit and he would say something over, and then the amora, the spokesman, would broadcast it. He was like basically a human microphone. He would broadcast the information to everybody, and Rav would not do so after he was intoxicated. In fact, he'd wait a full day. Talking about a period of sobriety. He waited a full day before he set somebody up in order to speak. In other words, he knew that on the first day of Yom Tov he was drinking. Could be, the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, could be that we're talking about Pesach and Dal Kosos, or it could be just in general, on Yom Tov he drank. Whatever the case is.
One with every meal, so
when we're talking about intoxication, again, the Gemara doesn't say all this, so I'm only guessing. If you want, the Rashi says, "Vishasha acha v'shasav asa yom tov ad lamachar." The Achim Mashmi Kra Yain v'shecha teshech bevoachem v'chem v'shasha atabala havdol haros bein davar kedusha ladavar chol al teshechros. I don't. It's not, Rashi doesn't give us enough information in terms of what gets him to the point of intoxication. Meaning, right? I don't know. I don't know what's so. In other words, obviously, on Yom Tov he's drinking more. How much? What's the point? Unclear. But anyway, that the Gemara says is what we're learning out from the Pasuk, meaning that when you're making a distinction between Kedusha and Chol, meaning when you're Pasuk and Halacha, so you can't be at a point of intoxication, you have to have a clear mind. The Gemara says, we have now another source. So far, what have we seen this morning? We've seen now, certainly a Xerishava connecting Shesui Yain with Mechus Begadim, with Richut Yadayim V'Raglayim. And we've also have another drasha, V'chagat Osam of Nate, Aaron Ovana V'chavash Lahem Mikbas, V'Aitzal Lahem Kuhuna L'Chukas Olam, that when Kohanim were wearing the clothing, the Big Day Kuhuna, they are now Kohanim, meaning able to do the Avoda. Without the Big Day Kuhuna, they're unable to do the Avoda. We have the Gzer Shava linking it to Shesu Yan, Richut Yadayim V'Raglayim. But now the Gemara notes that there's another drasha. The Torah says in the beginning of Vayikra that you give it to the Aaron HaKohen. The word HaKohen, what else is he? Meaning, of course he's a Kohen. So the Gemara understanding is Bikihuno. Meaning he's not just a Kohen, he's in his Kahuna. Meaning in his Kahuna, the expression actually says it really well. He's wearing the proper clothing. So, and that's another drasha. But what do we need another drasha for at this point? Liman HaKohen Gadol Shalavash Bigdei Kohen Hejo V'Avad Avodasa Psula. So the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol, in order for him to do the Avodah, he must be wearing his clothing, meaning the clothing of a Kohen Gadol. Even if he were to wear the clothing of a Kohen Hedjot, that is insufficient, that's Mechus Begadim, and therefore the Avodah is Psula. Explains the Gemara. The Hasam Hava Min Hanimila Avodah de Ma'akva Kapara. Avodah de Lo Ma'akva Kapara Lo. The Gemara says, if I only had that drasha, I would have limited to only that avoda, which is ma'akev, which holds back the kapara. But an avoda does not hold back the kapara, no. Meaning, if you look contextually over there in that pasuk, what is that pasuk talking about? Pasuk's talking about putting wood on the fire. Look at Rashi. Mevahaisalam kuna have mukmin Allah behahib avoda ha-mekev is kapara. Val nesinas esh shel hejo. The mitzvah ba'almehi. If we're just talking about putting wood on the fire, it's a mitzvah, meaning it's certainly the correct thing to do. The Shari Yesham Eishi Yardam Neshamayim. But Rashi points out over there, but even if the Kohanim would have not put the wood on the fire, there still would have been a fire. Eish comes down Neshamayim. The Gemara elsewhere points out a number of distinctions between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. One of the big distinctions, the basic difference is by Bais Sheni, no open nisim. By three shown many open nisim. So one of them is Eish Menashamayim. So the Gemara says, Eim loti bai begadim. So therefore, in avoda which is not ma'akev, and quite frankly, not necessary, I might have thought that if the Kohen is not wearing the proper begadim, okay, it's not so bad. So kamash malam, v'nasu b'nei Aaron, Kohen Eish. So that's what this pasuk is coming to teach me. No, even for such an avoda, Kohen has to be dressed. It's It's not good. Meaning he even such a quote unquote less than less than essential avoda. So I might have thought the Kohen does not have to be dressed to dressed in his formal begadim. So that's what this extra drasha is coming to teach me. But in other words, kapara in the sense that it's, in other words, he's right. Kapara it just simply means in order for the karban to be a valid karban. Okay, the word kapara, right? Agreed. The word kapara by shlamim is a little bit looser, but still, in other words, that the karban work. The Gemara continues. We're back to the Gemara. So now Gemara is going to give another drasha. I mentioned four altogether. So the Gemara now mentions another drasha. In other words, when it says hakohanim, it means they have to be in the state of kuhuna, meaning they have to be dressed with a big de kuhuna, mikan. Lakohen hedger shalavash, big de kohen gadol, v'avad avodos apsula. So here now we're going in the opposite direction. Here the drasha is that if you have a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hedjot, wearing the begadim of a Kohen Gadol, that's also no good. And that's also considered as if he's not dressed, and therefore the avoda that he does is pasul. The Gemara says, Ime ha'asam hava minahani milechisa v'al yisro kamash malan. But the Gemara says, and we easily could have imagined such a hava mina, look, if you're a Kohen Gadol, and you're only wearing Kohen Hedjot, so that's chisor. That's literally mechusar begadim. You are deficient. You need to be wearing 8 begadim. You're only wearing 4, so that's pasul. But here we're going in the reverse direction. Here you're a Kohen Hedjot, and now you're wearing the clothing of a Kohen Gadol. You're not mechusar begadim. You're not deficient in begadim. You're wearing more than you need to. I might have thought, okay, shouldn't do it. And yes, you can even call an affront to the Kohen Gadol. But when all said and done, I am wearing the 4 begadim. I just also happen to be wearing additional begadim as well. And kamash malan, the chiddush is, no, that's no good. No good to the point where, avodah mechulalas.
So even if you wore the 2 shirts, it will be no good.
We'll get to that. That's coming up. The Gzereshav, not 3 Gzereshavas. Gzereshav are connecting 3 different ideas. Which, that's fine.
Is there a limit?
Fair question. I don't know. Correct. Agreed. We are in the very bottom of Yudches Amud Aleph, continuing now in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Hayu Merushalim, Misulakim, Mishuchakim, V'Avad Avodaso Kshera. The Braisa says, look, let's say the clothing is not perfectly fitting. So, let's go over each one of these terms. Merushalim, dragging on the floor. Misulakim, meaning too short. Right, they are some of the legs of the Kohen are being exposed. Mishuchakim is that they're a little bit old. Now I'd say tattered, although I'm not sure. In other words, for the time being, let's just simply say old. Rashi says it. So in other words, they're not new. Again, I'm sure that they could be better defined, but so if they are dragging, too short or old, and the Kohen were to do a vote in any one of those states, ksheira. The Braisa says that's okay. Meaning obviously lechatchila. Should be fitting, should be newer, but ksheira b'di'evan. This is not going to disqualify the avoda. Lava shnei mechnasayim shnei avneitim chaser achas yeser achas oshaisalom ritia amakas besar tachas begadol oshayu mitushtashim o mikuraim v'avad avodas apsula. Contrast that with the following. Let's say the Kohen is wearing either 2 belts. I'm sorry, 2 pairs of pants, 2 belts. Chaser achas, yeser achas. If, let's say, he's missing any one of the clothing, let's say he's adding one of the clothing, adding an additional clothing, or there was a bandage that was on his skin, causing a chatzisa, separation between the clothing and the skin, or if the clothing was mitushtashim. Mitushtashim, says Rashi, you take a look at the top of the next Amud, so Rashi understands it as dirty. Okay, Rashi says that it's got some mud on it. I'm guessing that Rashi doesn't use blood as an example because kind of inescapable. Where you're doing the avoda, that there's going to be blood on the clothing. But I'm just guessing. Or mikuraim, or let's say they're torn. And Rashi points out, even if they're new, but still, in other words, if they're torn, so then in any one of these circumstances, if the avoda is done, the avoda would be psula. On torn, Rashi points out, what's wrong with torn clothing? So you would have guessed it, but Rashi says it, because the pasuk says, l'chavod l'sifaris, because the kohen has to look regal in the clothing, and if the clothing is torn, there's not that sense of a regal, an honored position, and therefore the clothing is not good, therefore the avoda would be an avoda psula. It's hard to understand. Right, it's hard to understand.
Were they custom made, or was it they
make
sizes and people ask?
Well, stay tuned. The Gemara is not going to say it, but it's pretty clear that it has to be tailored. In other words, the clothing has to be tailored. We'll see. We'll see more of that discussion through the Gemara. Okay, so in this brisa that we just quoted, so the brisa was very clear about if the Kohen's clothing is either too long or too short, so it's not the best, but it's kosher. Okay, that is what we learned from this brisa. The Gemara, however, points out v'hatanya. So the Gemara quotes a halacha in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that if they're dragging, it's kosher, but misulakin, but if they're short, meaning you get to see legs of the Kohanim, so then psulim, so then that would be pasul. V'atanya misulakim ksherim. The Gemara now points out, but wait one second. That's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says that if it's misulak, if it's riding too high, so then it would be kosher. Amar Rami Bar Chama lo kasher. So Rami Bar Chama says, look, none of this bothers me, because kanshe silken ayide avne, kanda lesnu mikara klal. So, very simple distinction. Look, if let's say that there is enough clothing, but right now your belt that you're wearing is hiking up the clothing. So the under those circumstances, that would be okay. In other words, but if there just simply isn't enough material, meaning it's not that it's being hiked up, but rather it just simply it's not there. So under those circumstances, it would be pasul. Rami Bar Chama says that's the distinction between the Braisa and the Halacha said over by Shmuel, and so therefore a distinction is to be made. The Gemara says, the Gemara introduces us to the opinion of Rav. So, Rav Amar Echazev Echazev Psulim. And Rav is of the opinion that under both of these circumstances, meaning whether it's dragging on the floor or whether it's riding up high, so under those circumstances, and not because the belt is hiking it up, but just simply because there's not enough material, in both of those circumstances, so it would be pasul. Now, difficulty, of course, is that Rav is not in agreement with the Braisa. Meaning the Braisa said very clearly that whether it's riding too high or too low, in other words, if the clothing is either dragging on the floor or right somewhere up the calf of the Kohen, so the Braisa says, b'dievitz kosher. And Rav says under both circumstances it would be pasul. So that obviously represents a problem, which the Gemara now is going to try to solve, but with a little bit of a story. Rav Huna ikla le'argiza. So Rav Huna went to the town of Argiza, and Ramale bar ushbezachne mi'am marshmul mirushalam k'sher masolakim psulam. So the son of the innkeeper talking to Rav Huna and Torah, and says, look, I heard the following from the name of Shmuel, that if it's dragging on the floor, it's kosher, but if it's too high, it would be pasul. V'atanya, misulakin k'sherim, but that goes against the braisa. So amalei bar mina dahi d'shnai Rami Bar Chama. So he says, look, again, it doesn't bother us because Rami Bar Chama already asked that question and already responded to that question. And again, his answer was, if it's hiked up too high simply because there's not enough material, pasul. If it's hiked up too high because the belt is hiking it up, that's kosher. Fine. So there's no problem between the Braisa and that which Shmuel says. El Rav Kasha. Okay, good. So Shmuel will resolve, but according to Rav, we have a problem. Rav says both if it's too high or if it's too low or if it's riding too low, in both of those circumstances, Rav says it's pasul. And meanwhile, the Braisa says it's kasher. So v'chitem amay Yerushalayim misulakim ayde avnei. The Gemara says, and maybe what you tell me is that when the Braisa was talking about Mirushalim, that's dragging too low on the floor, and misulakin ayide avne, and what you did is you hiked it up with your belt. Avne megas gai agiz. So the Gemara says, and what do we say regarding the nature of the belt? We say that the belt literally the words means cut it off, but it just simply means that In other words, an adjustment made with the belt, meaning by bunching up some of the material into the belt, it's ki'ilu, it's as if now it's a form-fitting material. It's hemmed to the right side. It's tailored correctly, and therefore it would be kasha. So the Gemara says elam mesulakim kasha. The Gemara says okay. And even if I accepted that as the pshat, but then the other side of the brisa says that mesulakim would be, the brisa says kasher, and Rav says pasul. So what are you going to do there? So Amar Rabbi Zera, Rav Chada Tani. So the Gemara says no, because Rav, when he learned the brisa, he didn't learn that the brisa was talking about two different scenarios. He understood the brisa as making one singular point. Merushalim shesikan al yidei avnei ksherin. It means that if the material is riding too low, and the Kohen now form fits it. How? How does he tailor it? By simply hiking it under his belt. Now, under those circumstances, that's the only thing that Bryce was talking about. It's not that Merushalim and Musulakim are two different cases. It was one case in which he's actually tailoring the clothing, not by cutting, by bunching it under his belt. Then, under those circumstances, would it be kosher? But if in the event that it was he didn't adjust it, and it's riding too low, or if there just simply is not enough material and it's riding too high, under those circumstances, it would be possible. Amar of Yirmiyah Midifti, Merusham Shalom Silkan, Tanahi. So the Gemara says, now, question on the table goes like this. Now, let's say there's too much material, and he doesn't hike it up. Meaning, if there's too much material and he hikes it up, so if we all learn together, according to everybody, according to Shmuel, even according to Rav, under such a circumstance, it would be fine. But Mirushalim, if it was running too low, so the Gemara now is suggesting that's a machlokas tanaim. Meaning we now know together that's a machlokas amarayim. Meaning according to Rav it'd be pasul, according to Shmuel it'd be kasher, but now the Gemara wants to suggest that's a machlokas tanaim as well. How so? The Tanya we learned in the following braisa, arba kanfos k'sesecha. Torah talks about a four-cornered garment. We know, we're somewhat familiar, that when you have a four-cornered garment, so now there's a mitzvah in the Torah to attach strings to every one of the corners, right? We refer to it as tzitzis. Well, the garment we refer to as a talis, and the strings are tzitzis. Okay, the mitzvah of tzitzis, and it goes on a garment with four corners. How do I know four? Because the Torah says so. Arba kanfos kisusacha. The Torah says it has to go on the four corners. Arba v'lo shalosh. Now, what if you have a three-corner garment? Right, a little bit hard to envision, but somehow the garment ends on three corners, not on four. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, would there be a mitzvah to put tzitzis on the three corners? No. In other words, only one four. Aleinu al arba v'lo chamesh kishu'amer asher techaseba hare balas chamesh amur. What if the garment had five corners? Again, a little bit tricky to imagine, but let's imagine that the garment ended on five corners. So under those circumstances, do I have to put tzitzis on the five corners? The answer is, according to this braisa, yes, I do. Meaning when the Torah says four, the Torah is only excluding three, but the Torah is not excluding five. The obvious question, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Hamani mikayim arba arba v'lo shalosh. Umare isa l'rabos balas chamish lohoti balas shalosh. And where are we arriving at the conclusion that four, not three, four, yes, five? What is that? So the Gemara says, Marba ani balas chamish yesh b'chlal chamish arba. Umotzi ani balas shalosh yesh b'chlal shalosh arba. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we arrived at that conclusion. Because yesh b'chlal masayim mana, a popular expression throughout Shas, I'm just borrowing that expression over here, meaning that when you have three, three is not four. When you have five, four is within five. It includes four. It's four plus one. So therefore, in the pasuk I have a mi'ut, but I also have a ribui. So what am I going to be mamai? Makes much more sense to exclude three. But when we're going to be marbet, we're going to be marbet five. What if we just learn together? That you have a five-corner garment. That's excessive. That's excess. But that's okay. Meaning, there's still going to be an obligation for tzitzis, even though there's excess. So, if we can try to translate that over to our discussion is a kohen wearing a baguette, that's too long. It's excess. According to this brisa, okay, it's excess.
You would have to put on all five or just four of them?
All five. I'll come back to that in just a moment. V'tanya idach, and meanwhile, we have another brisa. In this other brisa, al arba kanfos kesuscha, arba v'lo shalosh, arba v'lo chamesh. In the second brisa, no. When the Torah says four for the corners, four meaning four, not three, not five. only a four-corner garment is going to be obligated in tzitzis. What do we have over here? A machlokus between the two brises. That part is clear. What's the underlying explanation of the machlokus between the two brises? The Gemara now goes on to explain. My laba akamiflegi, Amar Savar Yeser Kamanda Isedami. Amar Savar Kamanda Laisedami. So the Gemara says, basically, what do we say about excess? The Gemara has such a wonderful analytical explanation. Do I just simply look at the excess, shrug my shoulder, and say, okay, so we have more than what we need. So what? Meaning, let's talk about the corner garment. I have a five-corner garment. It's four-corner garment. But there's an extra corner? Good, there's an extra corner. It's a four-corner garment with an extra corner. Okay, so what? I have a Kohen wearing, now let's move over to the begadim of a Kohen. There's too much material. Okay, there's too much material. Meaning, does it go down to his feet? Yeah. It goes down beyond the feet? Okay, that's excess. Okay, so what? Meaning, okay, so there's a little bit of yisur, big deal. And the other brisa, let's start with tzitzis. The other brisa says four, not five. Meaning, we can't just simply look at the excess and say, oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's another corner. The Torah says four, not five. And now let's move to the begadim of a Kohen. In other words, it's going down further down his feet, dragging down the floor. That is a big deal. I mean, you can't just simply ignore the excess. Shrug your shoulders at the excess. Funny, you shrug your shoulder, the clothing will move up a little bit. But in other words, you can't just simply ignore the excess. So,
four and five are like absolute numbers, whereas the length has to do with variable based on the height of the Kohen.
Right now, well, just one second. This is now, the Gemara is just attempt to compare the two machloksim. And the Gemara says the comparison is not necessary, or not muchrach. It's not the only way to explain it. The Gemara says no. Maybe when we're talking about an additional yisur, we don't just simply say okay, whatever. In other words, no, it's extra. You can't just simply ignore it. It's there. And as far as tzitzis are concerned, so why do we say that a five corner garment is obligated tzitzis? Vishani hachad the Rabbi Rachmana asher techasebal. And as far as why would then a five-corner garment be chayv and tzitzit? It's not four. Five is not four. The answer is because we have a ribui. Meaning specific to the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Torah tells us asher techaseva. That's a ribui. That now is including. Now it can't be including three because three is less than four. So if it's going to include any garment, what kind of garment is it going to include? Five, because five has in it four. But it's not because we're just simply shrugging our shoulder at the extra corner. We actually have a ribui in the Torah that tells us that a five-corner garment is chayv and tzitzis. V'idach, ha'ashir techasaba my avidla. Now the other Tana, meaning the Tana who said that a five-corner garment is not chayv and tzitzis. So in other words, arba means four not three, four not five. But now you have a shir techasaba where that Tana does not believe that to be a ribui. What does he do with that extra pasuk? Mibayla lechadetanya comes to teach us a different point, which is uri isem oso prat lechsos laila. The Torah says that you have to see the tzitzis, which means that you're only obligated when you're wearing ksus yom, clothing of the day. But if you're wearing ksus laila, clothing of the night, and then you're not that clothing is not going to be chayiv in tzitzis. So oein ola prat lechsos suma. The Gemara says, what about someone who's blind who can never be in a state of ri'iya? Kishu'am, asher techasaba, arik sustuma, amur. No, asher techasaba comes to teach me that as long as the clothing is serving the function of covering your body, it's chayv and tzitzis. When it comes to the suma, that's exactly what it's doing. Therefore, it's chayv and tzitzis. Hamani mekayim. Just one second. Hamani mekayim arisa mosal. So then what do I do with the pasuk arisa mosal? Pralik sus laila. So it's coming to exclude sus laila. Ma risa rabas to suma. Why am I going in this particular direction where I'm including ksus suma and I'm excluding ksus laila? And the Gemara says very simple, because when it comes to ksus suma, so who has the inability to see? Only he has the inability to see, but everyone else can see. Meaning the pasuk says uri isem oso. And they will see it. Meaning for everybody else is visible, because it's during the day. Masha enkin balayla, as opposed to night where nobody can see. So therefore, when nobody can see, and no one has the ri'ya, so such a garment is going to be excluded. Let me just finish up, and then I'll back up to discuss a really interesting point. The idach, meaning. So now we've understood, asher techasaba, what is the manda amar the b'raisa who says, four means three, four, I'm sorry, four means four, not three, not five. So Asher Techasaba, what do you do with it? So we just explain what you do with it. We darshan it in terms of the halachas of Re'iyah. V'idach nafkalei me asher. V'idach asher lo darish. And then, as far as the back and forth between the Tanayim, a question whether or not we are allowed to, or whether it's eligible to darshan the word asher. One says yes, the other says no. Good. Akan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. A really interesting machlokas are Rishonim. We have learned together that ksus laila does not require tzitzis. What does that mean, ksus laila? Literally means clothing of the night. So, could mean one of two things. It could simply mean clothing designated for the night, what you and I would call pajamas. That's one way to read the Gemara. That's the way Rashi seems to indicate. What? Yeah? Wait, just one second. That's the way Rashi seems to indicate. Praxa luksus laila. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Talis ha'asuya luksus laila. Petur min atzitzis. A clothing dedicated for the night. Again, what you and I would call pajamas. So, and that would mean then, again, if we just took the Rashi to its literal conclusion, so that means that if I'm getting into my pajamas before nightfall, and let's say the pajamas have four corners on them, not chayv and tzitzis. Meaning, according to Rashi, it's not a function of whether it's day versus night. It's just a question of the beged. If the beged is a dedicated for the night, not chayv and tzitzis. That's ksus laila according to Rashi. Take a look at the Rambam. Read the Rambam inside. I don't have it in front of me. Rambam gives the indication that the distinction is just simply day versus night. Meaning, if you're wearing clothing during the day, chayv and tzitzis. If you're wearing clothing at night, not chayv and tzitzis. Ksus laila is more a function of the time than it is the actual clothing itself. So that means to say that if you're wearing clothing at night, even if it's your daytime clothing, wouldn't be chayv and tzitzis. But once the day rolls around, it would be chayv and tzitzis. That's the way the Rambam seems to read and understand the Gemara's distinction between ksus laila versus ksus yom.
How about his suma? Hmm? Suma is in the mitzvah, so why does he have
that suma being patam in a mitzvah is a machlokas, right? There is a manda amr who says that suma is patam in a mitzvah. But remember the Gemara and Kiddush? We did the Gemara and Kiddush.
Is it on the beged or on a person?
No, I understand that. But in other words, wait, just one thing at a time. So there is a man da'amu who says that Suma is patam in the mitzvahs, but the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that Suma is chayv in mitzvahs. Obviously, there are going to be some mitzvahs which, you know, he can't do because of his condition. But in other words, generally speaking, it's chayv in mitzvahs. So but it is fair to ask, though, if you hold Suma is patam in the mitzvahs, so then what do you do with these drashas? That's I think that's a reasonable question.
But I
understand that, but the Gemara gives the patur. So what is the patur talking about? In other words, the language of the Gemara is ksus laila. So again, meaning you and I could say it's both, but the Rishonim are worried about, they're focused on what specifically is the patur laila, what's giving the patur. So Rashi, and parenthetically by the way, the Rush also in the back, speaks like this. That's going on the clothing, meaning whether the clothing is dedicated for day versus night, as opposed to the Rambam, who speaks more about the time of day. Okay, that's...
How about a sheep?
Right, you're right, correct. I saw discussions like that. In other words, the sheets, which are obviously four-corner garments, but it's not a garment per se. Yeah, but it is dedicated for night. Okay, so let's just wrap up our day. So we talked today about Mechusa Begadim. Mechusa Begadim is one of the psulim of the Kohen when doing the Avodah and he's not wearing the requisite clothing. How do we arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara gave a number of different sources in the Torah. And what we spent a good part of our day doing is going over what is the need for all the sources when all said and done. I counted four drushes in today's daf in terms of why the Mechusa Begadim is possible to do the Avodah. Various havaminas of why, if I only have one, this drasha, what would have been excluded from the psul, but when all said and done, all avodas that are done in the state of Mechusa Begadim is going to be possible. The second half of today's daf, we talked about tailor making the clothing, meaning the clothing has got to fit the kohen. So that means that lichatchila, obviously, there should be a tailor in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara elsewhere talks about these ideas, that there were tailors in the Beis HaMikdash who did tailor the clothing. But the clothing has got to be tailor-made. And then a discussion today in terms of chisur versus yisur. Meaning, what if there's too much clothing and what if there's too little clothing? Too little clothing, that seems to be very clear. That's going to be possible. Too much clothing, so best, of course, to hike it up. In other words, to stick some of the material under the belt. And so therefore make it form-fitting. And even Rav, who takes the more takes a more chamor position would say that that's okay. But what if there's too much clothing and the extra clothing is dragging on the ground? So machlokas amarayim, possibly, although the Gemara doesn't like that, possibly a machlokas tanayim, but certainly a machlokas amarayim, whether or not too much clothing is going to be possible. According to Rav, it would be. According to Shmuel, it wouldn't be possible. And again, the question of how to look at the excess. Do we just simply look at the excess and say, okay, it's too much, or no? Do we look at the excess and say, look, it's just simply, in other words, that doesn't fit you, and you can't just simply ignore the excess. And then the end of the daf today, we talked about how many corners does a garment need in order for tzitzis. Certainly a 3-corner garment is pater from the mitzvah of tzitzis. A 5-corner garment, machlokes tanaim. One brisa says yes, one brisa says no. We thought that it was actually connected to this debate. Gemara says, no, it's not connected to this debate. It's just simply a question of whether or not we make an extra drasha to darshan a 5-corner garment. One brisa says yes, and another brisa says no.